Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that you all have had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye. But we are on our series called The Ten Commandments. And this week we are on God's third commandment that he gave us. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about how God has told us that we must put nothing before him, that God is the only thing that we should be living for, and that we should have no other gods that we are worshiping. God has given us every single blessing that we have. Whether you are far from God or you are close to him, God is blessing you in your life. And he's saying, I want it all from you. He's saying, I want you to be motivated to live in this life for me and me alone. Last week, we looked at how we are not supposed to make images of God for us to worship. That means to make idols. The problem is when we make something to represent God, we lose sight of everything that God is, all of his awesomeness, because nothing can compare to his majesty and his glory. And when we make things that are trying to represent God that we can see, feel, and touch, we end up worshiping that thing instead of God. And in today's culture, we need to make sure that we are not making the church an image of God. The church is an amazing place to worship God, to learn more about God, and to grow together with fellow believers. But this place, it is not God. We need to make sure that we have a personal relationship with God every single day. It's about you and him every single day, not just when you come into this building. So this week, we're going to be talking about the third commandment, and it will be found in Exodus 27. So chapter 20, verse 7. And so if you want to follow along in the same Bible that I am using, I read from the NIV. We have some in the chairs there. We also have a stack in the back for anyone that would like to follow along. If you do not own a Bible, I would like you to take one with you today. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. And we're going to read Exodus 20, verse 7. It says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." So flat out, we are not to misuse the name of God. Because when you do use his name in vain, it says you will not be found guiltless. So you are guilty when we are misusing his name. And the first thing we have to talk about, though, is what is God's name? What are the names that God has used and we've seen and read here in the Bible? Because names are very important. In the Jewish culture, people were named from whom they were and also the different qualities that they actually have. And so there's a guy in the Bible named Abraham in the Old Testament, and he has a son at a ridiculously old age. And he thought, I will never have a son. Even though God was promising him a son, he thought, there's no way at this age that I'm going to have a child. But they do have this child, and they end up naming the child Isaac. And his name means he will laugh. And it's because they thought having a child at such an old age, they thought it would never happen, that this was hilarious. It was the funniest thing ever that they actually had this child. And so they named him Isaac, he will laugh. So I started looking into different names and what they mean. And so, of course, I looked up my own name. And so my name is John. And in the Hebrew, it means graced by God. That's a pretty good meaning. I really like that. I never knew that. I thought that was a really cool thing to see there. And so I thought, all right, I'll look up my wife's name. So my wife's name is Julie, and her name means youthful, natural, and wholesome. And I thought that fit very well. I thought that was perfect. It was interesting to actually see these words and go, oh, yeah, that actually is my wife there. So the question is, what are some of the names of God? Obviously, we call him God. We call him Lord. But what are some of the other names that we can see in the Bible? And this week, I'm going to tell you, I have extra slides so you can see these names actually written there. And yes, and actually I have in here, I'm going to apologize to the interpreter now, but that's why I made the slides to make sure that you can read the names because they're not in English. But these are some of the names and what they mean. So first one is a very popular one that a lot have heard, and it is Elohim. So Elohim. And that just means God, creator, mighty, and strong. And you can find these references to this name in the books of Genesis and Jeremiah and other places. And this is an obvious one to call God because he did create it all. He's all powerful because he's the only one that could have made this world and made everything in it. He's the only one that could have made everything in the universe. When you take a step back and you look at everything the way it is, the way it works, you have to say, yes, a very powerful and mighty creator made all of this. So then you have the name Abba. This means father. This is actually one of my favorite ones. I love the name Abba. And it's because he is the ultimate father. He cares for us. He watches over us. He takes care of us. And what does he do? He calls us his children. And we get to call him Father. So then the next one is actually three names that all sort of mean the same thing. That's Adonai, Yahweh, and Jehovah. These all mean Lord. He is the ultimate ruler. He is the overseer. He is the one that saves us and delivers us. He is the one that makes the plan. It makes a lot of sense to call him Lord because he is Lord of lords. He is Lord of all. Then you have other ones that use Yahweh with another attribute. So we know that Yahweh means Lord. So you have Yahweh Jireh. And that means that the Lord will provide. And we know that God gives us every single blessing. He is the one that provides every single one of our needs. And so that is very fitting. Then you have Yahweh Rapha. It is the Lord who heals. God is the one who has the ability to heal us of all of our physical needs. But more importantly, he is the only one that can heal your soul. He is the one who forgives us of our sin, and he's the one that heals our whole being. Now, I want to let you know, the names go on and on. There was like 20-something different names of God, and I really didn't want to go through all of them, but I do want to go over some of the attributes that are talked about when you are naming him. It says, the Lord is our shepherd. He is the Most High. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is the everlasting God. He is the Lord who sanctifies and makes holy. And then my favorite one out of all of them is just, I am. That's a fantastic one because God is saying, I am. It's me. I am God. God is an amazing God. And as you can see, his names, they hold meaning. And now that we know some of his names, it says that we should not misuse his name. And some have heard it said, depending on which interpretation you have, that you should not use his name in vain, or that we should not use his name lightly. And yes, all of that is true. We know that he is powerful and he is the Holy One. We should not be using his name to say how we are upset or surprised. OMG is thrown around way too loosely. We just go ahead and we use God's name every time we are upset. And I'm going to tell you, the only time that you should be saying, OMG, you should be saying, oh my God, hear me now. I need you. I want you to hear me as I cry out to you. Help me through this. But we use it so easily in conversation, and we just say his name whenever we feel like it. And that's not the way it should be. And it's because we should have love and respect for who he is and his name. But this is not just about saying his name. Because the truth is, it's not just what rolls off your tongue. When it says that we should not misuse his name, this also means that we should not claim to be his servant, claim to be a follower of his, and do things against him. It means that when you accept Christ into your life and you say, yes, I am a Christian, when we become his children, we cannot keep living as the world lives. And why is that? Because you are carrying his name. You are a witness for him. I want you to think about it this way. When you work for a place and you put on that uniform, you say, I am a part of this organization. And when your actions do not line up with what this company stands for, what happens is you get in a lot of trouble. You may even be fired. And this goes for whatever comes out of your mouth. This is the actions you take. This is the way that you treat people. And nowadays, we have a newer problem. This includes your social media. It's all about what you post. Many people have lost their jobs over the things that they're putting out there on social media. And it's because you're representing this company. Well, I want you to know, it's like that, except that you are a representative of God. The things that you say, the things that you do, the things that you post, all of it is going to be looked at because you are saying, I am one of God's children. And this is talked about throughout the New Testament. So this is not a new thing where you're saying, oh, I'm representing God. No, we are told that we are ambassadors for God. So we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21. And this is a letter from Paul to the church in Corinth. And it says exactly what we're talking about here. So 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When you say that I am a Christian, you are an ambassador of Christ. So what is an ambassador? It is a representative to go out into foreign lands. You are going to represent who God is and what he stands for. And that is why it says, as though God is making his appeal through us. He is speaking through you and your actions. We are to go out and tell people about how amazing and awesome God is, about his love, about his son, Jesus Christ, about how everyone can have a relationship with him. And if we are not being a good representation for God by following his will, then guess what? People are not going to be pointed to him. We're being told that when you are being this ambassador, that you're living for God, people will see God. They'll be pointed towards who he is. And I can't tell you how many times people who were far away from God that I've talked with, that I've looked at, that they've seen my life. I've shown them true love. I did not judge them for their mistakes. How these simple little actions of pointing them to who God is and what he stands for, it has changed their lives. Now, obviously, people still have the choice to follow God if they want to or not, and they get to seek him themselves. But when you're being this ambassador for Christ, you will change their lives just by living. You don't have to do anything else. When you are living the life God has called you to live, that life you're living will change others. But now comes the opposite side. I've also had times where I've not been a good representative for God. For whatever reason was happening at the time, I was either hurt or I was angry. The truth is, I was just not living for him in all of those moments. And I can look back and say, wow, if I just would have handled that the way that God would have wanted me to, imagine the powerful witness that I could have been. Because people will come up and ask you all the time, how did you get through this? What did you do in this scenario? Why are you so happy through this suffering? And you can say, because I have God. We have to understand how important it is to not take God's name in vain, to not misuse his name. And Paul understood this. And we're going to read it again out of Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. So this is also from Paul in the book of Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. And I'm going to tell you now, he was in a terrible spot. Things were not going well for him when he was writing this. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. It starts off with Paul here saying, flat out, pray. You get to talk to God, and he is listening. Take that time and do it. Pray to him. And then he says, I want you to specifically pray for me. He's saying, pray for me to have strength, that every single word that comes out of my mouth, that it will point every single person to Jesus. And we get a glimpse of where Paul is. He says, I am an ambassador in chains. So Paul is in prison. And this is not like, oh, okay, so he's getting three, you know, meals a day. He gets to go have rec time out in the yard. This is not a fun prison. It's not going well for him. He's getting beaten. He's not being fed. Things are not good. And eventually he dies in prison. And he says, though, while I'm in this horrible place, while this is my life that I have right now, he says, I am a representative for God, and I pray that I do it well. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, you are carrying God's name. Carry it well by following God, by spreading the gospel, by going to God in your prayers. But now comes the big question. And the question is, so what does this look like? How do I do this in an everyday situation? When I'm just living my life, what does that look like? Because in those moments where we're really feeling that we're being beaten down and we're suffering, we can have those moments and go, God, you're amazing. Please help me through this. But what about the mundane? What about the everyday? What does that look like? Well, we get a pretty clear description of this in Romans. We're going to read Romans 12, 9 through 21. So this is a big chunk of verses that we're going to read here. Romans 12, 9 through 21. And it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So when you read these verses, this is all encompassing on how we are to live in many different scenarios. And it starts out with, be sincere in your love, to truly love people. God does not just say that he loves you and has no action behind it. No, God has done everything for us. He takes action. It's not just words. And this is real love. Now, I want you to understand, this is not full acceptance of everything you're doing. That's not what God does either. Saying that I fully accept everything that you're doing and it's great and wonderful, I'm going to tell you, that's not love. It means to help them and stand up against the things that are hurting them, the things that are against God. If you truly love people, then you're going to want them to stop hurting themselves. You're going to want them to live a life of true freedom from their sins. That does not mean that we need to go out there and judge them and belittle them and beat them down. No, this is saying, I want something better for you. I want the best for you. And the best for you is one thing alone, and that is God. Then it says, hate evil and cling to what is good. I love that part where it says, hate it. I love how strong that is. It's used here. It's not, oh, okay, well, you know, if it's evil, just go away from it a little bit. No, it says, I want you to hate what is evil. That thing that you know is wrong, that thing that you want to do that is not from God, those sinful desires that you have inside of you, it says, hate those things. Do not entertain them. Do not give in to them a little bit. Well, I only sinned a little bit here. I didn't give in completely to it, so it's okay. No, it says to hate these things completely because they are pulling you away from God. So what do you do instead? It says, hold on to the goodness of God like your life depends upon it. And it's because your life truly does depend on it. You have to follow God with your life and run from your sin. And then we could just read verses 10 and 11 and be done because it really does cover it all. It says, be devoted to one another in love, to care about each other, to honor others above yourself. If we could get past ourselves to help one another, this world, it'd be a very different place. I always say 99.9% of all sin is selfishness. And imagine if we started living completely for God and honoring others before ourselves. This world wouldn't look like it does today. And then verse 11 says, I want you to always be excited and ready to go and serve the Lord. Every day should be a question for you. Well, God, you know what? I am here. What do you want from me? And what do you want for me? But the truth is, when we stop there, we go, yeah, but what do I do in this situation? And what do I do when this arises? And we need a little bit more help, a little more explanation of what this looks like. And as I say, thank God for the Bible. I always tell everyone, if you have a question of what you should or should not do, what is good and what is right, read it here. We have God's word given to us. Pick it up for yourself. And we just read, it says, you are to be joyful in hope. So what does that mean to be joyful in hope? That means we're able to see what others can't for the future. We are hopeful because we know that we have a mighty God that we serve who is good, who is just, who is all-powerful, and no matter what happens, things will be good. How can that not bring you joy? Because you have that hope. It says we are to be patient when we're suffering because this world has a lot of suffering in it. And sadly, just because you're a follower of Christ, it does not mean that you will no longer suffer. No, we live in this fallen, broken, terrible world. And there will be many times in your life where you're going to suffer. But the truth is, we have something different. We don't suffer alone. We have God with us. He can bring us peace and comfort through anything that this world throws at us. Then it says to share with the Lord's people who are in need and to practice hospitality. That person who is struggling, the person who does not have what they need. I want to make this very clear. Not want. It's not about what you want. It's what you actually need that you have to have. We should give as God puts it on our hearts. We should be going out there and helping those who are in need. But then it starts to get kind of real. You read these pieces and you go, okay, I can be patient and suffering and I can help those who need help and I can try to honor others above me. And then it says, those who hurt you, I don't want you to curse them. Actually, I want you to do the opposite. I want you to take some action. I actually want you to bless them. Nothing shows that you carry the name of God like caring and loving those who hate you and hurt you. Because that's exactly what God has done for all of us. God loves us and takes care of us even when we are far from Him. God loved us while we were still sinners. God loves us even when we're hating Him, denying Him, all of those things that we do against God. God is still loving you. And it tells us right here, what are you going to do with your life? Those people who hurt you, those people who hate you, I don't want you to ignore them. I don't want you to do evil back. I want you to actually go out there and bless them. It says then, be happy with those who are happy. Mourn with those who are mourning. It says, be at peace with all people if you can. And no matter what situation somebody is in, we're supposed to be there for them. When someone wrongs you in any way, do not wrong them back. Because that's what the world does to each other. We're not supposed to live that way. But verse 21 really rounds it all out. It says, do not be overcome by evil. But we actually can overcome evil by doing good. It is so easy to give in to evil. It just claws at us. It is one of those things that comes so easily. And the world is telling us, go out there and do what feels good. Go out there and just make your dreams come true. That's not from God. And the only way that you can beat these things, to overcome the evil of the world and yourself, it is to live for God, to be God's ambassador. So when God said, do not misuse my name, this is what he meant. Yes, watch your mouth. Do not use his name flippantly, because you know what it means now. But more importantly, you carry his name. You represent him. Show the world that you are for him with your life, and it will point people to God. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. If you say that you are a follower of Christ, you are his ambassador. You carry his name. I want you to live your life to represent God. You carry the name of the mighty and awesome God. Show it through everything you do, not just this week. Normally I say, this week I want you to do this. No, this is every week. But what I want you to do this week is I want you to write someplace that you look often. Maybe you write it on a post-it note in your bathroom. You write it on your Bible, something that you're going to see often. I want you to write the words, I am a child of God, and I represent God. To have that reminder daily, oh yeah, I'm here, and I live to glorify him completely. For those of you who are not sure who God is or what role Jesus plays in your life, I'm going to tell you a really hard truth here is that God wants you. God wants you in his family, no matter what you've done. God wants to be reconciled with you, meaning he wants to be right there in a relationship with you. It doesn't matter what you have done. He wants you. He wants to be with you. I want you to keep looking for answers. I want you to keep listening because there is so much more to live for out there than just yourself. You'll find yourself empty, wanting something, and that something is God. This week, make sure that you carry his name well. You are his ambassador.
We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.